What's Cooking? Supported by Auckland art gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.
Okay, let's do a bit of a line check here. We should have Tristan from Truth sitting there in the background. Can you hear us, Tristan?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hang on, you're a bit muddy there.
Let's change channels. How are we going?
It's great, but you just sound like you're in a massive windstorm.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Actually, I don't know if this will work. We might have to call you back. Have you got a landline or a phone there?
We do have a landline for you.
Yeah, I'm calling back on my phone. That's fine.
We'll just go into this first track. We'll go into this Portishead and we'll get you back on the line to chat about it.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Easy. Well, this is sonically quite buzzy. Portishead with Sour Times,
as selected by Tristan from Truth, phoning in all the way from Christchurch. Now we should have this line sorted out. Are you there, Tristan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Classic phone, sounds good. Nice sharp sort of aggressive mids, and I can, you know, sounds good.
Nice.
Now, Tristan from Truth, how the hell are you?
I'm great, really good.
Can I upgrade that question into what the heck is Truth? For the uninitiated,
For the uninitiated, Truth is a, there's two of us, we're a duo from Christchurch originally. We make electronic music, mostly dubstep and other kind of bass music. So I'm Tristan, my partner Dre is now based in the Pacific Northwest, so Washington State, USA.
Short for Andre?
Oh, really? Has he moved up from LA? He's gone a bit further up the coast.
Yeah. So during the lockdowns and everything like that, he was just, why the fuck am I living here in this horrible smog-filled place, like, where I could be, you know, in beautiful outdoors? So he moved.
Mm-hmm. Does he enjoy snowboarding?
I don't think he's been snowboarding since he was about, like, 20 years old. So
okay.
It's been a wee while.
I just thought maybe a bit colder up there, but, you know, a bit further north.
Yeah, I mean, what he really missed about from New Zealand was the rain. He really missed the fact that it rains here and it doesn't rain in LA.
Mm-hmm.
It rained, like, once in the course of, like, 6 months or something, so he was just, you know, craving the green.
Fair.
Now, you both relocated to the US. How did that stint go? And why did you relocate?
Well, okay, so we've been planning to go to the US for a while. We've been thinking about it, at least. But obviously, we had this huge earthquake here in Christchurch, and that kind of spurred us on. I moved to Auckland for a while after that, and it was a stepping stone to just jump in to over to the States. But, I mean, basically, the way we saw it was that our music, dubstep, was pretty big in Europe and the UK, and it had a huge potential to grow in the States. I'm talking about the more minimal sort of vibey underground shit, not the sort of really commercial stuff.
You're definitely on the minimal end. I see all this sort of...
For sure.
Like, I mean, the presser and stuff has come through with dubstep, and I'm like, I know some people probably with a much deeper connection to the scene would go, oh yeah, dubstep. But to me, who sort of dabbles in a variety of genres, I wouldn't necessarily pick you as a dubstep act.
Yeah.
I
completely hear that too.
Yeah.
And it's the way this the genre has evolved. I mean, it started off as the stuff that we do, and then it became more and more full-on, more and more mid-rangey, more and more pop-driven, and it's kind of gone back to its roots now.
Almost aggressive, eh? It got quite aggressive there for a while.
Very aggressive. And that was always a part of it. Like, we could be clear that it was always part of it, but a small part of it.
And I'm just thinking about a Key and Peele sketch that I sent John the other day, and it's one of them's like, have you heard dubstep? And they're in like an apartment. He's like, nah, what's it like? He's like, oh, I'll just chuck it on. And he chucks it on, and then everything just starts turning to shit in the apartment. Like, his nose starts bleeding, and like stuff gets thrown around. It's so crazy and extreme, you know? But you guys seem to definitely have a bit more of a delicate delivery. Is the appreciation, is that where it's kind of shifted, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think our music sort of, we always thought of it as quite heavy.
Right on.
And then when that more Skrillex-y kind of vibe came out, we're like, oh yeah, we're on the deeper end of things for sure.
Right, right.
I mean, it's still designed, I mean, this album is an exception. Usually our music is still designed for a big sound system, you know, in your face kind of sounds, but it's more stripped back, it's more sub-bass oriented as opposed to mid-bass.
Right, right, cool.
Yeah.
Bit more dub.
Now, this evening, obviously, you have the new album on the way, which is out on August the 6th. We kind of, this is a regular guest selection feature that we do, and we reached out to you and said, hey, could you put together a couple of tracks, a track list for us of stuff that is sort of perhaps inspired the new record? And we've just played the Portishead, which obviously a huge tune. But the next one we've got lined up is some Calibre. We've actually been playing a bit of Calibre on the radio show the last month. I think he had a new record out not too long ago. Why have you chosen this particular song?
Well, before we were making dubstep, we were doing a lot of drum and bass.
Mm-hmm.
And Calibre was always one of our favourite artists within that sound. And it's kind of the aesthetic of Calibre's music that a lot of it's quite understated. It's subtle. And it's also got shelf life, so you know, you listen to it again and again and again. This release came out at least 12, 15 years ago, and it still, to me, feels relevant.
Kind of one of the hardest things to do with electronic music, isn't it?
The other thing is it's kind of poignant because the singer, Diane Charlemagne, passed away about 3 or 4 years ago, and you know, the album itself, our album is about that kind of thing as well. It's about sort of loss and accepting things you can't change and moving forward and then the hope that's generated from it. So, it's hard to choose one track from any artist. The same with Portishead. I mean, how do you choose one particular track that influenced you? But we just thought this was a good representation of a track by Calibre, which is really beautiful, but also got like lovely vocals and has this kind of, stripped back, understated vibe to it.
Cool. Right. All right. Bullets featuring Diane Charlemagne.
Thank you.
Excalibur with Bullets, as selected by Tristan from Truth, who's on the phone. Truth have got a brand new album out in the very, very near future, Friday the 6th of August. It's called Acceptance. Tristan, you kind of touched on the themes running throughout the album. Did you want to dig into that a bit more?
Yeah, sure. Basically, well, first of all, the album that's coming out next week, it's the first album we've made. This is our fifth album. It's the first one we've made where it wasn't kind of contrived. Like, we didn't go to ourselves, let's make an album. We were like, oh, we've made all these tracks within a sort of quite small period of time.
Shit, it's an album and kind of thing.
It's kind of looking like an album. And then we finished a few more of it. It was like, this is actually an album. And it was all made pretty much like during lockdown when Dre was trapped in his house. Well, he felt like he was trapped in his house in Los Angeles, and obviously New Zealand as well. I was over here doing stuff, and so we're doing a lot of live streams and playing music to people in their homes. And when you're playing music to people in their homes, they don't really care as much about, you know, big drops and, like, you know, throwing their hands in the air and that kind of stuff. They want to listen to music. So that was part of it, but then it was also just, you know, things happen, or, you know, the whole pandemic throws, like, life into perspective, and you can't really control that kind of shit. So Acceptance, the song Acceptance was a track that Dre sent me, having, you know, been just going through shit at his house, feeling like shit, and I took his loops and laid it out into a full track, and he wanted to change the name, and I was like, no, we've got to keep this name. It's, like, perfect. It totally encapsulates what you're feeling right now. So, yeah, I mean, the track titles themselves, they kind of speak to it, really, because there's tracks like Transition, Acceptance, All the Loose Ends, Unlearn. They're all things to do with, you know, growing internally and that kind of thing. And I mean, and the other thing about the album is that because it came together so organically, we just quite like it. You know, usually when you finish a project as a music person, you're like, it's shit. You know, you always have some reservations, and this one we're like, oh, we still really like it. So
I guess if it comes from an unforced place and sort of naturally evolved, then you're going to be a lot more comfortable with it.
Yeah. And we're also just kind of like, you know, hopefully people dig it, but it's no big deal. If, you know, it doesn't go down well, it's all good, but we're happy with it, so we're cool with that, you know.
Right. Now, the next song that you've selected for us is by an artist called Ian Ewing. New to me. What can you tell us about him?
Ian Ewing, he's a dude, I don't know where he's from. Somewhere
I thought it was Ewing as well. You did a classic.
Oh, it could be Ewing.
I said Ewing. Ewing.
Yeah. Ewing. Ewing's meant, though.
Mr. Ewing.
It sounds like
Mr. Ewing here.
It sounds like one of those scooters that goes like an electric scooter.
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, aside from doing Truth, I also randomly play at kind of little cocktail bars, DJing like chill beats and playing saxophone.
What's on your rider for one of these occasions?
Wait a minute, do you play saxophone over the beats?
Yeah, I'm just DJing and play. Because they're like 4-hour sets, so I found that, like,
4 hours?
Fun.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, just a random question, but have you seen that new instrument? It's like a mini saxophone. I forget what it's called. But
it's called, it's actually funny how you call them E-Wing, because it's called an E-Wee.
Is it? They sound fucking rad as shit, though. They're like real, like, minimal, but they kind of get the point across, you know what I mean? Like, without having to lumber around a big saxophone. What are they called again?
Oh, are you talking about, like a soprano sax, or are you talking about, like, the electronic version?
I'm sorry, did you say surprise sax?
It's,
like someone jumps around the corner.
Hey.
Okay. No. We've
surprise sex.
We've been on so many tangents here. Back to the rider. What's on Tristan from Truth's rider when he's doing a 4-hour DJ set with a little bit of sax over the top?
Sorry, guys. Can I just I've got a name. It's the pocket sax, mini portable saxophone.
I haven't actually seen that.
They're like $20, but they sound really good, man. I feel like that could be you with your DJ set, instead of having to lug all that chrome around, man. It's
amazing.
And you can kind of slide it out of your sleeve like a Ron Burgundy situation. Sorry, what was John's actual question? I'm just raffling.
Look at my rider as a 4-hour DJ DJ set.
DJ set?
Yeah, well, okay, Coffee is on the rider for sure.
Yep, good option.
True.
Pole Press, usually. And
Powerful.
Red Wine.
Yeah, nice.
There's a snack in the middle.
Well, you're on a real roller coaster, man.
Red wine and
I
coffee.
Know, balancing
I just say a snack
that.
In the middle. So
well,
you kind of go
you
like
know,
coffee, snack,
right?
Red wine. Yeah. Boss man. It's kind of like that's a high class boss man situation.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, it's pretty chill. And the song by Ian is, well, his whole catalog is super chill. He's a drummer, he's a keyboardist. He's a really amazing like user of samples and production. So I couldn't really. Once again, it was just like, which tune should I pick? And it was just kind of like this one. So I played it heaps.
Sorry, someone's just texted in helping us out that you said soprano, not surprise. So I.
Awesome. Yeah, soprano.
Surprise sex.
Surprise
sex. Let's play this Ian E-Wing, as John would put it. It's called Number 17 Original Mix, and we'll come back with more chats with Truth.
I just hung up on him.
Call him back.
I just hung up on him. Hang on.
That was boom bap as hell. Tristan,
are you there?
yes, I am.
Hey.
Yes. Tristan from Truth. Now, are you planning a big summer run of shows? Truth obviously did a couple of shows throughout the country last summer, but what's on the cards in 2021-22?
And what does it look like? What does the setup look like? Do you bring the saxophone, etc.?
Well, yeah, good question. It varies. So I did a show recently, which was like a 5-hour, it was like a Truth All Night thing here at Christchurch. For that, I bought sax, I bought another thing called the Akai Iwi, and had some vocalists. Usually it's just like a DJ setup, so, you know, four CDJs, a mixer, a bunch of music. Mm-hmm. And what's summer looking like? Well, there's a few things I can't mention, but there are, I think, at least three or four sort of New Year period bookings, okay. Including Summer Australia. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We'll soon find out. I also have a bunch of other shows like September, October, and Aussie, which I'm sort of just
crossing your fingers
won't
for.
Happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's things around Canterbury in particular. A festival called Rolling Meadows, playing one called Groove Fest, got one called Bush Doof. It's a South Island version of that.
Mm-hmm.
There'll all be DJ sets, and I'm really looking forward to them.
Do you have any peers that you enjoy touring? Say you're doing some shows throughout the country. Who would you likely usually have on the bill with Truth?
Who would I like to have on the bill? Okay, well, my favourite tour I've ever done was with Jeremy from the Upbeats. We did a 23-date tour together where we just played all over New Zealand and Australia because we released an EP together a few years ago. And so we toured that, and that was just the most fun, especially because we're both massive board game nerds. So we were playing heaps of board games and touring, which was just amazing.
A bit of risk? Throw some risk in there?
Well, we're playing mostly...
What the fuck? Game of Life and Monopoly.
Yes.
Now, if you want to stay mates, don't play Monopoly, man. That just breaks families up, bro.
Seriously.
It gets fucking just real grunty.
We'll stay away from Monopoly.
Yeah. Longevity, stay away from Monopoly.
Exactly. But, yeah, so I choose him again, 100%. That'd be, like, my number one go-to guy.
Okay, good to know. Now, the next tune you've selected for us is by Horace Andy. Tell us a bit about that.
Our music is reasonably heavily influenced by, like, old dub and reggae, especially artists like, King Tubby is probably the number one.
Sort of. Oh, check it out. I've got some King Tubby under us right now.
There you go.
Rad.
And so we're also trying to find obviously Horace Andy's pretty epic as well, and we figured this song, even though it's kind of like got that dub reggae vibe, it's also a little bit more, what's the word, like plaintive or something like that. It's got a slightly more minor edge to it, in my opinion at least. So we, Andrea and I discussed these tracks as well, so it's just as much his input as mine. So we figured this would be a good sort of like, you know, overall influencing track. It's not like a direct influence on any of the music per se, but yeah, it's just a vibe thing, really.
Right on. Let's go.
Let's hit it.
This is Skylarking by Horace Andy.
All are doing, you will end up
Paris Andy, Skylarking. Now, Tristan from Truth, I'm going to ask you a gear question, which I'm not really going to be able to fully comprehend the answer to, but Big Hungry to my left will probably have more of an idea of what you're talking about. But what does a studio setup look like for both Truth members?
Okay, well, our studio setups are a little bit different to each other, but I'm actually in my studio right now, so this is pretty easy for me to answer.
Any cool posters on the wall?
Any cool posters? I've got the poster of the Star Wars cast, except set in like 1700s or 1800s formal dress.
Okay.
But my room is it's pretty small, about 10 square metres. Got a couple of vintage synths. I've got like a cool MS-10 sitting here, a Casio CZ-5000. Both of those I don't use that much. Got a little bit of hardware, like an Electron analog heat, which is like a distortion saturation thing. Got this epic thing called a Rolly Seaboard. So it's,
those are fucking awesome, eh? Very expressive
amazing,
kind of
man.
Keyboard.
Like, it's like uses every single channel of MIDI, and it sends like 128 channels of signal constantly.
Yeah, let me try and describe that to people. Like, the keyboard is like a sponge kind of rubber, right? And you, instead of like solid keys, you can put your finger on the keys and then you can like roll your hand around. And
so basically what it is it's laid out like a keyboard.
Mm.
It does have keys, but everything's covered in this layer of rubber and it's pretty sensitive. So you can touch it super lightly, it'll pick it up. And then if you push down harder, it'll pick up that you've pushed down harder. If you move your finger around, it changes parameters. So if I push a key down and then slide my finger up the key, it might open up a filter, it might pitch bend a little bit. You can slide your fingers up and down it and just bend pitch freely.
Mm. Sort of depending
on
the synth.
Every single finger is independent. So like you can have it hold down a drone with one hand and then be playing a solo with the other hand and it will fully understand what you're doing. It really is made to be performed on. So I've got it set up in a way that I can play it and then record the audio output as opposed to, like, saving the MIDI.
Yeah.
So that's just, I love it. So good. Especially for making cinematic sounds, intros, you know, all that kind of melodic or creepy, eerie, sci-fi sounding stuff.
Yeah, not necessarily keyboard stuff. It's just more of a really expressive controller.
Apart from that, it's mostly, like, software. So I use FL Studio, FL DAW, lots of different, you know, VST plugins. I've got an MPG, so it's like a drum pad kind of thing, which is right next to my keyboard. I can just tap in like rhythms for like percussion and that kind of stuff. MIDI keyboard to be able to play melodies and bass lines and stuff like that. And apart from that, I actually got a third screen, which is touch screen, so I can do like touch screen stuff when I'm making beats, especially with like a mixer kind of setup. And then, what else have I got? I've got a turntable in here for sampling and also for listening to test presses and that kind of thing. Some CDJs, a mixer, so I can stream or I can practice. Dre Studio, on the other hand, over in Washington State, it's just stacked with analog gear, like so many synths. I've got kids, so he has synths, basically.
yeah. Same. I'm on the synth end of that story.
Sorry?
I have synths, not kids as well.
Yeah. Might have been a smart decision, I mean, you know. But kids are pretty amazing too, though, so I can't really complain.
Now, shall we pull in the Cyclone? Can you tell us a bit about this track and why you've selected it?
Yeah, sure. So it's a bit of a classic. I can't remember what it might have come out like late 90s, perhaps. Quite a while back, and Cyclone is actually a collaborative project between A-Sides, the drum and bass producer, and Nathan Haynes, the NZ saxophonist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a random mixture, and it came out on Metalhead, which is a legendary drum and bass label. It's just kind of a little bit ravey. It's got the sax through it, quite melodic. And it's definitely one of Dre's favourite tracks of all time, so had to include this. It's just always an influence for him.
Do you find that Truth can get into a rave zone in a live setting?
Into the rave zone? Mm. Sometimes. I mean, we even released a track maybe like 8 months ago now that's full rave. Like, it sounds like it could have come out in like 94, except with sort of modern production sort of levels. So yeah, we're all about getting the party going as well.
Nice one. Hey, we'll turn this up and
yes,
drop back in a couple of minutes.
Hell yeah.
got an interesting text come in. FYI, Nathan Ains wrote and played all the instruments on this track, as well as the saxophone. Of course, I'd assume that. And it was produced by both him and A-Sides. They have just finished another album for Metalheads, which is being released very soon. Apparently, Texter says it's very exciting, and I must agree.
That's awesome.
There you go. Nathan Haynes, a bit of an inspiration for you, being a Reed man yourself?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty epic. I saw him once live, and it was amazing.
We had him up here recently. He was playing for Flamingo Pier, playing some stuff with them. We had them live in the studio. You can actually go watch that on BFM YouTube, and it was great. He's definitely got a really lovely touch. He knows how to sort of melt himself into a situation, you know? Really good player.
It's a legend there.
Yeah, really, just very contemporary vibes.
Now, Tristan from Truth, we've got one more song queued up this evening, and it is a brand new track from Truth. It's called Acceptance. Album is out Friday, the 6th of August, getting released on all the digital platforms, but also a limited vinyl run.
Yes.
I think John wants you to go, woo, always, vinyl!
Yeah, vinyl!
pretty much everything we do comes out on vinyl as well, and this is exciting for us, especially because we've finally decided to actually release the whole thing on vinyl, not just a sampler. So it's two records, it's a gatefold sleeve too.
Wow.
It features the artwork, which was by this amazing artist called Glass Crane, who's he's pretty big in the NFT world at the moment, so he's been killing it. But we luckily got in there before that will blow up and got his services on the cover.
Sweet.
So that's splashed everywhere. And actually the vinyl itself, one record is just like kind of bright blue, kind of cyan colour, and the other is like a bronze. So it's going to be, a nice thing to behold.
Should we be able to track it down in most sort of record stores in Auckland? Or is it something we should grab online?
Well, it's always better. I mean,
go to Bandcamp.
It's always better to get stuff on Bandcamp, it does tend to support the labels or the artists slightly better. Mm. But yeah, I mean, we have a distributor that sends records out to every record store that will buy them. So they definitely supply New Zealand stores. So yeah, it's up to the store, but it will be there.
All right, Tristan. Well, all the best with Truth and the upcoming summer situations. I'm sure we'll see you around the traps. And say hi to the other half, Dre. And, if you're ever up in Auckland, man, welcome to come in and play some tunes for us. Absolutely, it'd be right.
I'd love that.
Yeah, the door is
open. Thank you so much for having me to chat. It's been awesome. Yeah. Just having a nice extended chill session.
Yeah, our pleasure. I mean, we get to kick back and listen to some new vibes. And on that note, here's Truth with Acceptance. Kia ora, man. Take it easy.
Kia ora. Cheers. Thank you.
that's what's cooking. Thanks to the Auckland Art Gallery. And to that point, we do have a Auckland Art Gallery membership up for grabs, which is quite a powerful gift. It includes free unlimited entry to paid exhibitions for you and a guest, exclusive exhibition previews, members lounge access, invitations to regular talks or behind the scenes tours, movie discounts at Rialto Newmarket, and more. You can see the whole benefit list at aucklandartgallery.com. Big ups to the Auckland Art Gallery for getting on board for what's cooking. It's a buzzy little joint. Let us know, 5395, if you would like a season pass to the Auckland Art Gallery.
What a prize. Get some culture.
John and I got one just for the sponsorship, and we're quite pleased about
that. It's in my wallet. My card is in my wallet. Get one in yours right now.
You're welcome to call us as well, 309-3879. Let's get back to this truth.
What's Cooking, supported by Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.